Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kritika, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Cholamandalam Financial Holdings Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Pritesh. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kritika. Hi, good morning, everyone. On behalf of DAM Capital, I would like to welcome the management of Cholamandalam Financial Holdings Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Director, and Mr. N. Ganesh, Manager and CFO of Cholamandalam Financial Holdings, along with Mr. V. Suryanarayanan, MD, and Mr. S. Venugopalan, CFO of Chola MS General Insurance. Now, without further ado, we'll hand over the call to Mr. Sridharan for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to all of you. Hope you are all safe. In this call, we have with us Suryanarayanan, our MD, Mr. Venugopalan, CFO of the company, Mr. Ganesh, CFO for Chola Financial Holdings. As you all know that Cholamandalam Financial Holdings consists of the consolidated results of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Limited, Chola MS General Insurance, and also Chola MS Risk Services Limited. There's a wide coverage about Chola Investment and Finance Limited. You would have gone through their investment presentation to you, as well as you would have participated in their call. I will get into Chola MS General Insurance opening remark, and then we'll open up for the Q&A. Chola MS General Insurance registered a growth of 1,474 crores in Q2 FY23, an increase of 21% over the previous year, driven by growth across channel and partners. The company continues to have a dominant presence in motor segment and is strategically diversifying across the motor ecosystem. In Q2, the industry grew by 8.7% and private sector players grew by 12.5%. In the first half, industry grew by 14.7% and the private sector players grew by 20.8%. Chola MS General Insurance grew by 30.2%. In motor, Chola MS improved the market share from 5% to 5.3%. In PA, it grew the market share from 4.7%. In the fire business, the growth is about 43%. In the first half, motor, representing 66.5% of the portfolio, grew by 25.6%. Commercial represented 16.4% of the portfolio, grew by 43%. Health, accident, and travel represented 17.1%, grew by 38%. Within motor, two-wheeler and PC share has gone from 21% to 35%, and commercial vehicle has come down to 36% from 40%. Volumes from new channels, new verticals, OEM and financial channels had a very good growth. The company's long-term policies growth was more, and as per IRDAI direction, the company needed to upfront absorb the full cost for all the long-term policies. However, the UPR gets earned over the long-term policy, creating an embedded value balance sheet.
Hello.
Yes? The long-term premium over.
Please go ahead.
The long-term premium over GWP was 12% in H1 compared to 8.4% the same period last year. The solvency ratio as of September 2022 is 2.13 as against 1.77 the same period last year. With that opening remark, I think I would like to open up for Q&A. Thank you all for your participation.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one. and wait for your turn to ask a question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Participants are requested to ask 2 questions in the initial round and may join the queue for further questions. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Avinash Singh from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. So my question is on QLA insurance. The first question would be, if you can provide some kind of, glide path on the expense, the commission, non-claims cost basically over the second half and over the next year, because this is something, of course, we have the reasons, but upwards of 40%, this is slightly on the higher side if we compare versus peer, even adjusted for business mix. So that's number one. Second, a number of changes happening on the crop insurance side, with regard to the scheme structure in different states. Do you have a kind of a rethink or your change in the strategy as far as crop insurance business is concerned? So these are my 2 questions. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks, Avinash, for raising these questions on EOM. Next on crop, I will take crop insurance first. Chola MS was participating in crop insurance until 2018-19 and took a pass from that line only because of the operating environment in that line of business, the related cash flows and its impact on solvency, etc. But we do expect some changes in the program, crop insurance program. Earlier, in the last 2-3 weeks or so, the government has unveiled a slightly modified program and its intent to roll out. So we would be looking at that pretty closely. And based on the exact contour of the program that is unveiled, the board would evaluate its re-entry into that segment. That is on the crop part. The second is on the expense of management overall front. You would have noticed from page 52 where we are giving up the breakup of COR. While the claims ratio is more or less remained at about 72.3 and 72.4 between Q1 and Q2, you will find that there is a 2.5% reduction largely in the EOM-related costs. So this is the shift that has happened from Q1 to Q2. We are confident that we will be able to glide down that path as we go along into subsequent quarters. As I had mentioned before, this upfront absorption is also casting its impact. Our long-term business continues to be strong, as Mr. Sridharan had mentioned, which means that while the cost push from fresh business acquired will be there, but we will be earning incrementally higher in the subsequent quarters and in the subsequent year, which would help us bring down the overall cost level as we go along.
Okay. Thank you. Just a quick follow-up on the motor side, on the motor OD and TP. In terms of claims ratio, on quarter-on-quarter basis, there are some slight improvements. But in overall sales, for the first half, the claims ratio, upwards of 75% it appears to staying higher. So, do you see sort of a industry environment improving, allowing this to improve, or do you think that at 75% claims ratio, you are satisfied, you can operate?
On the industry part, the overall motor OD loss ratios remain elevated for almost all players in the industry. For Chola MS, as we have indicated in page 54, our ODLRs have come down by about 5% from Q1. We were at 75.8 to 70.5. So the company is working on multiple initiatives to keep this under check. A combination of initiatives of geography, segments, and all of that. This is on the motor OD side. On the TP side, it is more or less at around 76.577, and these small variations on a quarter-to-quarter level is largely driven by the product categories that we emphasize on. So for the current year, I can safely say that it's unlikely that there will be any major in this loss ratio in the TP side. We generally do an evaluation at the end of the year, taking into the full year's experience, taking into account the price movements, the frequency developments, and all of that, and determine the loss ratio together with the appointed actuary. As I have said before, the motor TP loss ratios toning down would have, it can happen on a larger front as the Motor Vehicles Amendment Act provisions get implemented strictly by courts. We are probably at the cusp of the first implementation. The time limitation that was imposed by the MV Act of 6 months from date of accident has just come into force. So we would, this quarter would probably tell us as to how the courts are viewing and implementing this particular provision of MV Act. And that can be a big pointer to the way the loss ratios shape for us and for the entire industry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Divansh Nigoti from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So thanks for the opportunity. So there's a couple of questions. So one is, in our presentation we mentioned in Q2 FY23, there were a few one-offs, like 47 crores of inflation-linked MOTTV provision. And two others. So I'll just one-on-one, I'll ask on them. So this inflation-linked motor TP provision, is it in claims or operating expenses? And what is it regarding?
Yeah, Renu, you can answer that question.
Yeah, here we wanted to explain for the profitability movement here, what is, provided in the profit and loss form. So one is about 47 crores in the Q2 part of it. Inflation-linked motor TP provisioning. As you know that there is a TP price increase, there is an inflation, on an annual inflation, the claims will go up on the TP side. So we are highlighting here that we have provided for the inflation in the TP ULR that has been submitted by the actuary. That amounts to 47 crores that has been part of the NIC on the TP side. The second is on the, sourcing cost. As we explained earlier, there are two components of the, absorption of the acquisition cost. One is the growth based, and second is the long-term policies growth. We have segregated this and said that, because of the high growth, initially we said that we are one of the top growers in the JI industry in H1 23. And that growth absorption of the acquisition cost is 28 crores. And the long-term policies growth, a fresh long-term policies that has been acquired, that part is 47 crores. These both put together has been absorbed in the acquisition cost.
These are on an incremental basis of current Q2 versus the corresponding Q2 of the previous year. And to add to what Venu had said on the inflation linked to motor TP, see, this is an actuarial assumption. Whether this the actual inflation bears out to the full level as envisaged, we would know only over a period of time. And if you were to look at this, incremental provisioning translates to something around about 4.5% on the COR. this we believe is a provisioning that is required, and time will determine as to whether it will get unwound or will remain.
Okay. So just few basic questions relating to the long-term policy business. We highlighted that these long-term policies are for bundled credit link, personal accident and health policies. So this is largely the policies for benefit-based health insurance which are sold with the property loan through our bank channel. This is the right understanding?
Yeah, that is one large segment through which these attachment products happen.
Okay. So let's say we mentioned that it is 12% of our business mix.
Yeah.
These long-term policies. So if I look at health part of our portfolio, health insurance, our mix is roughly around 8%. On a net premium basis, personal accident as a percentage of our portfolio is almost 5%. So when we say that that this is 12% of our mix, the long-term policy, so are we trying to refer the total mix for personal accident and health insurance over here? Is that the right understanding?
Also, dwelling is also
dwelling. Yeah, dwelling is also there.
The three segments: health, long-term policies, PA long-term policies, and home dwelling, which is part of the property, that also a long-term policy.
So some part of the mix in fire insurance. Is that the right understanding?
Yes.
So basically what it means is that there is basically including fire, personal accident and health mix is 17%. Of that 17%, 12% of our mix is towards the long-term policies. So is that the right understanding?
Yeah. The three segments only, we are saying is 12% of our things on the overall business mix is long-term premium, which is embedded into the GWP. The three parts, fire, health and PA.
Okay. So basically 60% of the mix in these businesses are long-term and remaining 35-40% are short-term in nature. Now to come again, let's say, how long-term are these policies? And what is the kind of OPEX which is front-loaded? So when you say long-term, what will be the average duration of these policies for each of the segments?
Yeah, as we have mentioned before in earlier calls, dwellings would invariably have a weighted tenure of anywhere between 7 to 8 years. And the PA would be anywhere between 3 to 4 years. The health could be up to 3 years.
Okay. So for these, the premium is recognized over the 3 to 4 year period or 7 year period in case of dwelling, while our commission structures are front loaded in our P&L.
Yes, you are right.
But when I look at the numbers and when I look at the operating expenses, the change in our operating expenses has actually happened from December 21, where our run rate used to be around 280 crores before December 21, and that run rate became 380 to 400 crores for the last four quarters. So basically there's a 100 crore delta on a quarterly basis in last four quarters itself in comparison to YOY, if I compare it, the operating expenses number. But when I look at the mix for these businesses, definitely even the revenue amount has not increased by 400 crore for these businesses, while our operating expenses itself has increased by 400 crore when I'm comparing it YOY. So I'm still trying to understand where is the delta coming from. So just to put some numbers, fire mix for last four quarters is 150 crores for the total portfolio of the revenue that we recognize. The health part of the portfolio is 304 crores for net premium, and personal accident is around 182 crores. So 180 plus 300 is 480 plus 150. So 650 crores is just the revenue that we recognize. While the delta in operating expenses we are seeing is of 400 crores. So I'm not able to understand when we say that these operating expenses have increased, the numbers somehow, sir, it doesn't add up. If you are able to understand where I'm coming from. So it looks like that the operating expenses are also coming, have also stepped up from other parts of the business.
Yeah, Venu, you can explain
the... the numbers you have given, actually, you know, we are not fully following, but what we have seen as a part of that is you have compared the previous year quarters versus the current year quarter in terms of the earnings and the, you know, acquisition cost plus expenses. So please note that in the previous year, 21-22, as per the IRDA order, we had to absorb the opening prepaid expenses to the extent of 326 crores, which is already in 21-22 is forming part of that as expenses. In the current year, the incremental premium that has been, you know, as we said, that is fully absorbed towards the long term, as well as for the not embedded premium, like, you know, motor. There are two components of the long term premium. One is the motor, which is not forming part of the premium. That is also fully absorbed in the acquisition cost in the current year, as well as the normal growth part of it, and also the embedded long term. There are three elements into that. When the acquisition cost comes to as a part of that, there are three elements. One is the long term, which is embedded into the GWP. That is nothing but the dwelling, health and PA. Second component is the long term premium of the motor, which is also part of your acquisition cost absorption. Third is the growth part of it.
Okay.
I don't know whether it is comparable to the previous year. There are aberration in terms of the absorption of the one-time cost also in the previous year,
which was taken over the four quarters.
Yes.
Okay. So if I have to...
when it comes to the numbers, then I think we can go offline and discuss about that, basically, because we need to see the numbers point of view from the previous year and current year. We can explain you. But in principle, what we are saying is, you know, the three elements of the cost that has been absorbed in the current year.
Okay, sir, I'll take that offline maybe. I'll contact the company secretary. So then, if then we are look.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Can you please join the queue for the further questions?
Sure, I'll join them.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Participants are restricted to ask two questions in the initial round and may join the queue for further questions. We are having a question from Ravi Priyot from Securities Investment Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just to follow up, and I will probably rephrase my question as compared to what Devansh had mentioned earlier. You know, when we analyze our general insurance business over a longer period of time, there have been times in the past where our ROEs were fairly good, fairly, you know, healthy, you know, prior to, let's say, when we had to, prior to COVID and prior to, before we had to make this IRDA adjustment on our expenses, right? So now the, and, you know, last year in pretty much every con call that we had mentioned on Q3, Q4, Q2, that, you know, our true profit is about 350 crore pre-tax or 380 crore pre-tax, and these are one-time adjustments that we are making this year because of the IRDA norms and all that. So in this sense, we had kind of anchored and kind of communicated that the true business profitability of the general insurance business is about 350 to 400 crores pre-tax profit, right? Now, this year, again, we have a lot of these one-off provisions and adjustments. So I was just trying to understand what really is the true ROE of our business or, you know, long-term return on equity that we as a business are underwriting when we are kind of, you know, underwriting policies, whether the ROEs that we reported in the past were correct, painting a correct picture, or what we are reporting now is painting a correct picture, you know. So if you could just kind of, you know, give us a little insight into what are we thinking in terms of, you know, when it comes to return on equity on our business.
Yeah, so if you are, look at page 49, I'm sure you are drawing reference to the 9.32 and 14.95 of 20 and 21. But then you have to bear in mind that those return on net worth were prior to the implementation of the IRDA order.
Yeah.
So those numbers are return on net worth is not stated. Earlier, the company was absorbing the cost structure in line with the earnings pattern. Now we are doing an upfront absorption. So that is where it renders the comparison different from what from the earlier numbers of FY20 or FY21. So that's okay. The first clarification. Second is, at the end of H1, we are saying that not annualized is about 3.6. And we have mentioned in the earlier call that at the current speed, what we are looking at as a sustainable, and we have also had a look at the combined ratios of competition. We would tend to think that that in the short to medium term, your return on net worth of anywhere up to 13.5 to 14 is what is possible in the near short term to medium term.
Right.
Just to add that there is no one-off this year. I just want to reiterate that point, is that last year we had this because we were taking the hit for the prior year long-term policies cost absorption, opening balance. Whereas this year is becoming a normal practice. So there is no one-off this year. Just want to clarify that point.
So is it fair
and
to
you are saying that, you know, yeah, we were talking about profit before tax of 350-400 crores, which we talked earlier, which I think we are still, you know, in course to that.
Okay. So you would expect so that the company has the, you know, capacity to be making like 400 crores sustainable profit on a pre-tax basis even in the current year, given that the first half we've kind of not been able to achieve that.
Yeah, I mean, I think let's give this H2 and then probably that will give us a far more strength to comment on that. Let's give one more half for us to get to a firm footing on that.
Okay. So just one understanding, you know, when you mentioned that, you know, earlier we were booking our expenses, you know, commensurate to the revenue that we were booking on our P&L, right? And when this IRDA change happened, now we are booking the entire expense upfront, whereas the revenue kind of gets, you know, come over a period of time. So let's say, is there something like, you know, if we were to, let's say, you know, under IFRS, for example, or, you know, I'm just trying to kind of, you know, understand that, you know, from a cash flow point of view, for example, right, or from a more normalized ROE understanding from point of view, you know, how should we kind of analyze the numbers in that context, right? When does this kind of adjustment go away, or we'll have to kind of continue to live with this adjustment and therefore the reported ROE will continue to be lower, whereas the true business ROE is probably higher because of, you know, upfronting of expenses. So if you could just kind of enlighten us a little bit on that.
See, two parts. First is in an IFRS context, the expense would get absorbed linked to the earnings over a period. So, which means that the kind of ROE that we reported in FY20 or 21 would be straight away back. So, that's the first clarification. Second is, as Mr. Sridhar had mentioned, what we are having is today the value in the balance sheet. There are the cost structures, and we know that all these long-term businesses are COR positive. The cost is all absorbed upfront,
right,
and then these do support a very good loss ratios, an indication of which is there even in the kind of loss ratios that we have put out on the personal accident front and all of that.
Okay.
And these are sitting as values in the balance sheet to be unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
There are two ways by which the value will unfold. One is over a period of time when they convert into earnings and there are no claims against or a lower claims ratio against this. So it unfolds into the P&L. The other is actually if you were to do any reinsurance structures, which many players in the competition have done. So that is something which is a possibility, which of the board as to whether we would want to adopt any such structures to bring P&L right into the, which bring the embedded value right into the P&L of the respective period. So this is an, a decision of the board. You will find that if you were to compare the overall business retention levels of Chola MS with that of competition, you would find that our overall level is fairly higher.
Right.
So it's therefore a choice of whether you want to cede all premium back to reinsurers, recognize the commission and manage your COR, or whether you would want it to unfold over a period of time. So that's a critical choice that the board would make.
Correct. But from a business analyst point of view, we should, like, you know, it should be fairly clear to us that the economics are superior than what they are getting reported because of this.
So that is what Suri mentioned. There is an embedded value which is sitting here.
Okay. Fair point, sir. And the last question, I think this must have been asked fairly, few times in the past as well. In terms of, you know, the Chola holding has a very large holding value in CIFC, and you have MS Insurance. So as a holding company, it does not really fully reflect or recognize the true value of the assets that it owns. So any plans or any thought process on kind of, you know, unlocking this value?
So I think as we have been communicating is that as investors, you could see the current value that Chola Financial Holding represents has to have two compartments. One is an insurance value and then there is an NBFC value with a whole core discount. Okay. So which whatever way each one would attribute, by better communicating the results of insurance business and its prospects is one way of bringing an appreciation to the investor community and thereby getting a full value to that. The other models are not at this point in time explored. So we would continue to communicate the best possible appreciation of the business prospects that the insurance business has got, and NBFC is well covered, so one can bring in some of the parts, and we don't want to come into the valuation methodology. We leave it to the respective investors to take that into account.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you taking your time out and explaining the nitty-gritties of the insurance business. Really helps us a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We are having a question from Sangeet Goda from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. If I look at the loss ratios, I clearly see in case of health, the loss ratios have deteriorated compared to what we have reported in Q1. So just wanted to understand what led to that number, because from 55 it has come to 71. So that's the question number one. And the second question which I have is with respect to motor. Probably you alluded to that point, but just asking it again. Say in fourth quarter we had a motor OD loss ratio at 83, which improved to 76 in first quarter FY23, and now it is closer to 71 in second quarter.
Yeah.
So if I look at the trend, it is like a 5-6% delta improvement every quarter. So it is fair to assume that what is leading this improvement to? And by end of the year, current 73, what we expect that number to play out? That's on the loss ratio. Then I have a question on few other numbers, but it will be useful if you can explain these things.
Yeah, so thanks, Sanket. On motor loss ratios, OD, yes, we have been seeing this improvement coming in. It's largely due to the portfolio mix choices that the company has made in terms of emphasis on certain product categories and de-emphasis on certain product categories. But I would tend to think that from here on, given the competitiveness in the market and the related pricing effects, the maximum that it can go down from the 70.5 level is perhaps by another 2.5%. So we are not going to see that 62 or 57 that we have seen in the earlier periods. That's unlikely. So that's the clear clarity on the motor OD part. On the health loss ratios, yes, Q2 we did have a higher health loss ratio, primarily coming in from our business from with the public sector banks. In some of our products, we have effected a price revision in the quarter three, so which should help us tone down our loss ratios as we go along.
Okay, got it, sir. Is it also because of the fact that in health the mix has moved in favor of indemnity over benefit based? Is that reason to some extent we can be attributed, sir? Or you can tell me the indemnity contribution compared to 1Q in the current quarter? That will be also.
Yes, we are stepping on our indemnity proportion. I have even mentioned it in earlier calls that the loss ratio will tend to move up. Presently, 39.61. Still, indemnity is at about 39 and the benefit would be at about 61. The company would aim to reach a 50-50 level. But then, yes, I think there were largely one-time losses that we had during this quarter arising from some of these and then the general monsoon-related fever and such sessions. This should improve in Q3. And I can say that now that I have the benefit of the month of October before me, we are already seeing that trend there.
Got it, sir. And another question. If I look at just pure OPEX from a ratio point of view, maybe not in absolute rupees growth, it has improved from 39.4 in Q1. That's of commission cost, I mean to say. It has improved from 39.4 to 36.4.
Yeah.
It's a 300 basis point improvement, which is an improving trend. But I just wanted to understand. Whether this number on sequential basis will improve, and if a loss ratio hold up at 72 for the subsequent quarters, can we see this 112 combined to go back to less than 110 kind of a number by fourth quarter, or what you believe this number will be in FY23 and probably you want to achieve in FY24, sir?
Sanket, you should understand that the first quarter our growth was 43% on the backdrop of a COVID environment. Q2 growth was 20%.
Yeah.
So naturally, when you do an upfront absorption, when that growth moderates from 40 to 20, it brings down the upfront absorption cost element. So while the H1 is 30, the 40 to 20. But I suppose that we would be more or less near this growth rate even as we go along. The numbers for October are out in the market. We have grown in line with the industry at about 17% in the month of October.
Right.
So that change in growth rate will definitely bring down that loss ratio. That is one. Second is that retail businesses grow more in H2. And our retention levels are higher. When I do my COR computation on the basis of net return premium, naturally the COR and the cost absorption ability, when you measure it against the NWP, will be better as we go along, which is really the scale benefit that is coming through. So, which is where I said that the 2.5% overall COR is largely only from the expense front, with loss ratios being the same. So we do see possibilities of this reducing further as we go along in Q3 and Q4.
Got it, sir. But sir, as we move into FY24, when we will get NEP benefit of the long-term policy, what you have written in current year,
yeah.
And probably with the better denominator, the loss ratios should improve better than 72 what you are reporting today. Then how confidently you are that in FY24 against 110 kind of a number by exit quarter of the current year, whether we can see that number to play out to 107. I mean, just wanted to understand that the thought process of better NEP realization and probably loss ratio delta improvement will drive the combined to be better in 24 going ahead, sir.
I agree with you. Directionally, I think we should be working towards that number.
Okay, got it, sir. And the last data keeping question, if you can tell us the advance premium number for September, that would be
great. No. Our long-term premium that we are carrying forward, which is largely relating to the motor piece, as of September, is about
1,330 crores. Okay.
March it was 1,198 in March. So now it is 1,330.
Got it, sir. And maybe final one if I can squeeze in. So the investment leverage is 6.6x today.
Yeah.
So Motor Vehicle Act benefit coming in. I don't know. Assuming that improvement in loss ratio in motor TP doesn't spill into higher competition in OD. I'm making that base assumption. Hope industry remains sane and it doesn't happen in that way. Then what do you think the improvement in loss ratio and leverage to come off and therefore the ROE, how it will get reflected? That's the final one, sir.
Yeah, as I said earlier, in our portfolio, the TP loss ratio is a large determinator of the overall loss ratio, given the weight of the TP earnings. Right. And I talked about how we are, built in an inflation-linked additional provisioning of about 47 crores, which number was very similar even in Q1.
Right.
And I had also mentioned that translates to about 4% of the COR.
Oh.
So we would really expect some benefit to flow from the Motor Vehicles Act. That implementation is what is going to give us a benefit over the long term. And plus, any possible future price increases. We know that price increases have been fairly low over the last 3 years, especially in the commercial vehicle space, where Chola MS has been having a 40-45% market share of our composition, not market share, of our composition, 45%. As that improves, that loss ratio can also come down because it will blunt at least our inflation assumptions that we make within the company.
Got it. But any view on leverage, how it will play out with MVA?
See, we are in a free market where every day we see changes happening in terms of price discounts and all of that. And therefore, yes, we believe that the kind of business mix that we are driving, we should see a toning down of LRs as we go along. So that's the intent.
Got it, sir. Perfect. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you for the response.
Thank you, sir. We are having a follow-up question from Devansh Nikodia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for giving the follow-up opportunity. But in case of motor TP, when we look at the loss ratios, not only for us, but even for other players in the industry, they are significantly below pre-COVID levels. So there was a frequency level settlement in courts were very slow. So where do you see that in comparison to pre-COVID level where they are right now? And what do we expect it to be going forward?
Yeah, our In fact, compromise settlements actually peaked during the COVID period. We were able to take advantage of the non-functioning of tribunals and courts during the period, because compromise settlements mean the victims and beneficiaries get the money faster. So we were able to take advantage. And therefore, to an extent, blunt the kind of inflation that you would normally see in a court award. That effort continues, and I'm sure we should be able to step up. Company continues to have a fairly large proportion of compromise settlements, which in on an average, it is varies between 78% to 80% of all TP claims get settled on a compromise settlement basis over fairly large periods of time.
Okay, so where I'm coming from is that motor TP claims ratio used to be upwards of 100% 3 years back, before March 90. And then there is a business mix change that we have tilted towards PVA and two-wheeler.
We have got into two-wheelers in a big way from 18-19, and with the long-term two-wheelers, long-term cars also coming into play, naturally the insured base gets bigger. The level of uninsured vehicles in two-wheelers definitely has slid down from the earlier levels to the current situation. But that, I don't think we have still taken the full benefit of that development, because we would like to see the way our own portfolio evolve. We are a fairly newcomer in the two-wheeler space. So we would wait for our actuaries would wait for actually the actual development and look at our experience.
Okay. So if over next 2 to 3 years, what is the kind of claim ratios in motor TP we believe are normalized, considering normalized level of court settlements in terms of the...
It is very difficult to predict a TP loss ratio, because there are so many moving parts there. One is the price itself. So we have no idea as to how the government will view the price. That is one. Second is there are court decisions. This particular business is determined, the loss ratios are determined by the kind of decisions that courts take. So these are two large variables. The only given element is that, yes, as the insured population increases, we can clearly expect a frequency reduction. That is the only given positive element. And of course, the thrust that companies provide to compromise settlement to reduce the severity levels.
So can you come again on the frequency of court settlements, where they are right now? And I just missed out on that comment.
No, what I was saying was that the frequency of claims, even as per IRDA publication and what competition is seeing, is that has been reducing over a period of time.
That is the first element.
Compromise settlements, it depends on the strategy of the company, and Chola MS has always been committed and been following an aggressive compromise settlement stand in the marketplace.
Okay. So
can you please join the queue for further questions?
Yeah, I'll join.
Thank you, sir. We are having a question from Deepak Sonawani from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I have a single question on a long-term premium. In a previous call in Q1 that we guided for, let's say in FY23, we'll be achieving around 8.5% of our GDPI will be long-term premium. But by H1 itself, we achieved 12%. So what will be the next, for H2, what will be the guidance for the long-term premium? I'm saying non-motor TP long-term premiums.
See, we look at it more from an opportunity and whether the business is economically profitable without getting blinded by an accounting year consideration. So that is what we are looking at. If there is that opportunity to get a business, a profitable business, which will be profitable over its life of 2 years, 3 years, 8 years, we would continue to go for it. I think that has been the broader philosophy. So you will find that even in Q2, it is at about 11.5% or so. That is where we would want to be. We don't want to be driven just by the accounting period considerations.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Mr. Pratish from DAM Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Sir, our share on the CV composition has been coming down. So last quarter also, I think we mentioned, or two, three quarters, we've been mentioning that it is bottomed and we'll come back to 50% and higher. Despite growth happening in the system, we've not seen the improvement happening. Any case there why we will be losing a little bit of share there in terms of insurance?
See, CV is actually there. It's a wider spectrum. You have the small tonnages, the medium intermediate category, and the heavy tonnages. Chola MS was particularly strong in the heavy tonnage categories by virtue of its market presence and channel relationships. Now, this particular segment is seeing heavy premium discounting. And therefore, the LRs are quite high there. This we have to correspond with the kind of LR reduction that we are seeing and what we have demonstrated over the last 6 months.
So when do you feel or see that this heavy discounting which is happening on the premium side could end, or is the case that it will continue for next few quarters?
Deepak, your guess is as good as mine.
And so basically, any plans to diversify from the heavy category by more tie-ups into the medium category type of vehicles so that the ratio improves?
It's not that we have not been in the other categories. It's only that the weight has shifted and reduced from the heavy category. We have been a full-fledged player across segments.
In fact, tractor and construction equipment, there is a considerable growth. Commercial vehicle also, there is different tonnages, and within that favorable tonnages, we are growing.
Got it. And also, is it fair to assume that because the two-wheeler and passenger vehicle share is up, our loss ratios also have, you know, increased pre-COVID and, you know, from last one or two quarters? Is that a fair sense, or that is not related itself?
Certainly, especially in cars, we can say that generally the loss ratios are higher.
So that's the reason we see that the share being up and the loss ratios being up as well.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Now I hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, I think thanks a lot for your participation. I think the key message is that I think growth is there. We have been growing better than the market, and we'll continue this path. Lots of prior year issues have been addressed. The investment issues have also been addressed. I think we have communicated that our growth path will continue, and we'll see a better mix coming up the end of the year.
Solvency.
And the solvency is substantially improved, and we'll continue this growth path. We'll start seeing better results to come in the years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation. and for using DoSubers conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.